The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we'll talk about how to pick dates for your Disney World trip. That's coming up on this episode 126 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 126. So Heather and I have spent the last couple of weeks working on a new crowd calendar for the next year or so. And so it's fresh on my mind and I wanted to kind of talk through it today because those crowd calendars and predictions for future crowds are not as easy as they used to be. And I kind of wanted to just talk through some of our logic behind that. Before I do that, just a quick reminder to follow on social media. I know most of you are on social media and would love to connect with you there. You pick the platform and look it up. I will probably be there, WDW Prep School. As always, I will have news and a quick tip of the day before we wrap it up today. So let's talk about the dates for your Disney World trip, because that is the first decision most people make, and it is the first step of my six-step planning process. Crowd calendars used to be easy. I have always had them since I've had a website, and it used to not take a whole lot of time to put them together because the logic had been the same for so many years, which is to say that you would start off the year with a couple of busy days in January because of New Year's, and then it was mostly not busy until mid-March, and then you would just assume that mid-March through mid-April approximately would be busy due to spring break, and then summer's busy, fall is not busy until Thanksgiving, and then, of course, Christmas. So it was pretty straightforward, and there were a lot of unbusy times in between. But in the last couple of years, there have been two main things that have changed, which have made these much more complicated. The first is that school districts have started adopting very different calendars than they used to. So it's not just a spring break that is usually scheduled, which makes the parks busy. It's also winter breaks and it's also fall breaks. So we have to take all these things into consideration. And even with spring breaks, which have always been the case in schools, there's a lot more nuance to it than I originally thought. I used to just think the entire spring break period is busy, so you should avoid it. But I've been to Disney World for two out of the last three spring breaks, and it's not quite that simple. Actually, some spring breaks are easier and much lighter crowds than others. So that's kind of a nuance, even with spring break, which we've, you know, had forever. So we've got these different school schedules, which I think have to all be taken into consideration. And then you've got Disney, who in all of their genius and trying to squeeze every dime out of people in the parks, has started to sort of plug the less busy times with special events. And that includes Run Disney events, which are hugely, hugely popular. They just keep adding Run Disney events and they keep selling out. And those are peppered throughout the year at both Disney World and Disneyland. And then also there are a lot of cheerleading and dance competitions that are held during previously less busy times. So what used to be a crowd calendar that had large splotches of or large spans of time that you could be, you know, that could be considered light crowds, it's not quite that easy anymore. That doesn't exist a whole lot, because if there is a pocket of time that is not busy, Disney often comes up with something to bring people in, and it works very well. So the process of putting together the calendar is just not as easy as it used to be. And it is super tricky. I know that there are lots of different websites that have different methods and rating systems and all that kind of stuff for crowds, and that we often differ. I have a policy of not commenting on what other sites are doing. I can only tell you how we do things and why, and then you can make a decision for yourself if it makes sense and when you would like to go to Disney World. So one of the changes we made this year, because of the complexity of trying to predict the crowds, is that instead of doing a calendar for the whole year, like all of 2016 or all of 2017, we decided to start adopting a school schedule because the school calendars are such a big part of predicting the crowds. And that means that the new crowd calendar starts August 2016 and goes to July 2017. When we have calendars for 2017-2018 school year, we will put out another one. So it will start in August of 2018. Now, this is different because the end of 2017 is not on this calendar. And that's because we do not know the Run Disney dates and we do not know the school calendar dates for the end of 2017. I actually attempted to do this last year by doing a 2016 calendar, and the dates were off by a couple of days because I was trying to make some guesses about Run Disney races and school breaks, and it was a little bit off. So I would rather do it this way to increase the accuracy and just start this kind of new pattern. So I just want to sort of talk through it and tell you the logic behind some of the dates, and then you can hopefully make a decision for your trip. I do have a huge graphic of this, but I just wanted to, I know some people prefer to listen as opposed to read, so I wanted to give this as another option, but I'll link to the calendar in the show notes so you can view that if you want to as well. So since we're starting with August, I want to just explain how August crowds look, and then we'll go from there. Beginning of August is always really busy because the summer itself is busy. So the first half of August, when people are still out of school mostly, is busy. It's also very, very hot. But starting mid-August, the crowds start to calm down a little bit because a lot of schools go back in session in mid-August. And by the end of August, like around the 22nd or so, the crowds are actually fairly light. And I told you earlier, there aren't a lot of light crowd times at Disney World, but end of August, beginning of September is actually one of the times that is still fairly light. I saw pictures of the parks from this last August and early September, and there was just nobody around. And that's obviously not a guarantee because you never know how it's going to go from year to year, but it often is like that because so many people have gone back to school and there aren't any special events taking place. So end of August, beginning of September, even though it's Labor Day, it's not too bad crowd-wise. So then we go into September, which does start off pretty light. By the end of September, there are some fall breaks scheduled in some schools. Not a ton. October is much, much busier in terms of fall breaks, but the end of September does have some fall breaks scheduled, and so have a little bit of crowds there, but I still think September in general is a really good time to visit Disney World. Then October kicks in. October used to be so unbusy that Disney would run promotions for people with little ones to bring their kids because they knew toddlers weren't in school yet. So they would run promotions where like they'd have Disney Junior Stars in the parks and things like that because October was dead. That is not the case anymore. The beginning of October is actually one of the busiest times of the entire year. And it's even busier than a lot of spring breaks. So the first week of October is some fall breaks for some school districts. Columbus weekend itself, Columbus Day weekend, is really, really, really busy. It's actually the busiest I have personally seen Disney World was Columbus Day weekend when I was there a year and a half ago. And then the week after Columbus Day, also busy. So the first half is busy. And I think a lot of people have sort of old school crowd calendars in their head when they plan trips and they think, I'm just going to go in October because that will be a light crowd time. And it's just not true anymore. So first half of October, busy. End of October, much less busy. There are a few school districts that do have late October breaks, but it's nothing like the first half. It's actually the first half of October is almost kind of like Easter because a lot of school districts have spring breaks that are adjacent to Easter. And it's kind of like that where they have their breaks adjacent to Columbus Day. And then after that, there are fewer and fewer districts that actually have breaks beyond that. So end of October is not too bad. And that does include Halloween. A lot of people ask about Halloween. And you know, isn't it busy? The Halloween party itself is busy and it's always sold out. But overall, Disney World is not super busy. One exception to that in October is October 28th. The local schools are out in 2016. So when the local schools are out, then a lot of them head to the parks. That date changes every year and is yet another reason why we want to wait to try to predict the end of 2017. But local schools do have an impact when they are out because there's a lot of people that have easy access to Disney World and they do go there. So then we go into November, and November is one of the trickiest things because it has changed a lot. My son's birthday is November 16th, and he used to have an annual pass. He doesn't anymore. And so for his birthday, I'd say, what do you want to do? And he would say, I want to go to Disney World. So we would, because it didn't actually cost us a whole lot of money. And so we would go, and it was the deadest crowds I had ever seen. And November is not like that anymore. November at the beginning in 2016 has, first of all, the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, which is November 3rd through the 5th, and it is sold out. A lot of the hotels are sold out. It is just a very busy time. It's the actual event sold out, and a lot of hotels are sold out. It is just incredible. I guess all Run Disney events sell out, but this one just sold out and particularly fast compared to others. It's just a very popular event. And then you have what is nicknamed Jersey Week right after that. Jersey Week is in New Jersey. The schools have a couple days off, and a lot of families will head to Disney World for the whole week and just take advantage of those school days off. So you have New Jersey crowds and you have Wine and Dine. So the first part of November is really busy. And then we will probably see a lighter period right after that, and then Thanksgiving crowds kick in. Thanksgiving week, the beginning of the week, not quite so bad, and then the end of the week, very busy, because Wednesday through Sunday is when most people seem to have off time, but some people have off the whole week, so it will have a big surge in crowds. If you heard reports from last year, from the fall 2015, from like November and December in particular, it was very, very busy. And I think it was because Osborne Lights were going away and a lot of people booked trips that wouldn't have otherwise because they wanted to see them before they went away. I personally know several people who've done that. So that's the only explanation we can sort of come up with, because there was no other kind of logical reason for it. So we'll have to see how this year pans out. But in general, first half of November, pretty busy for various reasons, then probably a lull before we head into Thanksgiving. Now, right after Thanksgiving, right after the main, you know, crowds leave from then, we have a bit of a lull for the first part of December. Now, a lot of people have said, now, this isn't actually a great time to be there anymore. Word has gotten out and it's not dead, which is true. But it's all relative. Like this first part of December a few years ago, different than the first part of December now, but still much lighter than the rest of the year. There are, you know, a lot of people are between school breaks, and it's just, you know, there isn't a surge of people like there is during other times of the year. So I guess it's a good time to just point out that even light crowds are crowds. So if you're not used to being there, just have that in your head. It's very much relative, but anybody with a plan will be able to be successful. So end of December, obviously very busy. Christmas time. When I was little, I had no idea that people went on big vacations during Christmas, because we always did stuff at home, but a lot of people do. And so Christmas week is often the busiest time of the year. And school breaks in 2016 will begin around December 17th. And those crowds will continue through January 4th or so. That's what school calendars seem to be showing this year. So very, very busy. But if you're going during that time, just have a good plan and you should be okay. Now, Disney's going to kick off 2017 with a bang, because as soon as those New Year's Christmas crowds leave, it's marathon weekend. And this is one of the most popular events that they have, Run Disney events. And so the crowds are really, really busy. So that is January 4th through the 8th, I believe it is, this year. And so a lot of crowds come in for that, and they linger. So we used to kind of, on the crowd calendar, just mark the events, the Run Disney event dates as busy. But the truth is that the crowds kind of linger because they want some park time, and that can make the crowds a little bit busier. So January used to be really pretty dead, but now we've got this marathon weekend crowds coming in. And then we have in mid-January, Martin Luther King weekend. And you might not think that that would be busy, but I have been there Martin Luther King weekend, and it was incredibly busy. So we have that in mid-January, and then the end of January should be relatively quiet without any events or holidays or anything like that. Then February might be the biggest surprise of all for 2017, because it starts with pretty light crowds, with the exception of a dance competition that's in early February and a cheerleading competition that is in mid-February. But the end of February is going to be crazy busy for a lot of reasons. One is President's Day weekend. That's a lot of crowds. You might not expect it, but it will be. And then the end of February has multiple things: Mardi Gras crowds, Princess Half Marathon, and many, many schools have winter breaks. So, you know, we talked about earlier about how fall breaks are often scheduled adjacent to Columbus Day. Well, a lot of winter breaks are scheduled adjacent to President's Day. And so we have a lot of fall breaks. So the end of February is actually going to have some decent crowds for, you know, four different kind of reasons. So that's an interesting change for this year. And this is why putting these calendars together is kind of complicated, because you can't just base it on last year. You have to look at where the events fall this year and try to come up with some predictions. So March is going to begin in a similar way, because the Mardi Gras people will still linger, because they often have the whole week off school and they head to Disney World. And then March will have a bit of quiet time before spring break crowds pick up. This year, or in 2017, the spring break crowds, according to the school calendars that we gathered, will primarily be there between March 11th and March 26th. That's a 2-week time period in March, and that includes districts where we live, and in a lot of it, like Texas and Midwest schools have March spring breaks. I much prefer these spring break dates to a lot of other times of year, because it's not as busy and it's not as hot as you might experience other times of year. So I actually really like March spring break trips. And would definitely recommend it. So I wouldn't, you know, a lot of people will kind of dismiss spring break as a good time to go because they have it in their head that it's busy. And it's not necessarily true, especially for March spring breaks. Between March 26th and April 8th, we did not see schools that had breaks, not hardly any schools had any breaks. And historically, it has always been that spring break was March, like the second week of March through mid-April, and we would just sort of say that whole time's going to be busy. But in the absence of any proof of that, we have said that we think it's going to be less busy between March 26th and April 8th, because it doesn't seem that a lot of districts have time off. And I think that's because of the late Easter in 2017. So Easter 2017 is April 16th. The week leading up to that is tons and tons and tons of spring breaks. So it's very, very busy. In the past, we have also said that the week after Easter would be busy. And this year, we just don't see evidence of that. And it's the late spring break, I think. So a lot of districts just don't have the after spring break scheduled, but they do have the before, I mean, the after Easter. So, but they do have the week before Easter. So that's very, very busy. But after Easter appears to be calm, we just don't see a lot of breaks during that time. So the end of April is going to see local schools being out, the last few days anyway, and a cheerleading competition. So the last few days we'll have a little surge of people from locals and cheerleaders, and that goes through May 1st. May itself is a great time to visit. Just like September in general is a pretty good time, May is also a really good time to visit. There just aren't Run Disney events. It's kind of, you know, it's after spring break, it's before summer, and the Epcot's really pretty from the Flower and Garden Festival, and the crowds are relatively low, and, you know, so it's still a great time to visit between about May 2nd and May 24th. And then summer crowds start to appear. The first districts have school out beginning on May 25th. Some districts, not a lot, May 25th. So the very last week of May is when crowds start to appear for the summer. And then they really ramp up by June 10th. that is when almost every district in the country is out. So that's when you can officially count on summer crowds showing up. And that pretty much continues through the beginning of August. So June 10th through about the first week or two of August of 2017, it'll be busy. It'll be peak summer crowds. And that's pretty much what you can count on. So that kind of wraps up our calendar. I'd love to hear your thoughts and any questions that you might have, but I just wanted you to sort of hear it from me about how we put these together so that you kind of understand where we're coming from. Let's talk about some news. There's been a lot of things that have popped up in the last week or so. First of all, this Sunday, April 10th, the My Disney Experience app and website are going to have some changes that I want you to know about because this actually changes how FastPass Plus works. So the first thing is that the app is going to allow you to make bonus FastPass reservations. The way it has worked up until now is that you make your first three fast passes before your trip, you go and use those in the park, and after they have expired or they've been used, then you could head to a kiosk and get a fourth fast pass, and then after that one was expired or used, you could get a fifth, etc. But the kiosk, although the kiosk will still be available, the app is actually what you can use to make your fourth fast pass, which is much more convenient than having to go to a kiosk, because sometimes those kiosk lines could get pretty busy. So that's a nice change. You will have to update your app to see that change, so make sure you do that. And another FastPass Plus change is that when you're making those first three FastPass reservations before your trip, the way it has always worked is that you had to choose three, and then the My Disney Experience website or app would give you kind of some suggested times, and you would pick option A, B, or C, and then you could go into each one and try to edit the times afterwards if you want. The way it's going to start working is that you can choose between one and three fast passes. You're not required to pick three, and each time you pick one, you will be allowed to also choose a time. So you pick a fast pass, choose a time. If you want to pick another fast pass, then you can choose a time, as opposed to just Disney suggesting a schedule for you. So I think these are both really great improvements, and we will see those soon. Another bit of news is that Joy and Sadness are now meeting at Epcot in the new character spot location, which also has Baymax. There is not a FastPass Plus to meet them or Baymax. There is a FastPass Plus to meet the other character spot characters, which are the classic characters, but not them. Lines have been long for Joy and Sadness. Their queue is fairly well themed. They're kind of setting where they are, and they're super cute characters, and they've been very popular. So if you're going anytime soon and you want to meet Joy and Sadness, I would definitely get to Epcot about 45 minutes early, put your stuff at the front of the line, and then when you go in, head straight there, because the queue builds and there just isn't a fast pass. So the only way you can really avoid lines is to be early. I suspect these lines will get more. If Joy and Sadness stick around, I suspect that that will not be the case when the new attractions open probably this summer. So, but anyway, if you're going soon, I would definitely get there early. Rivers of Light, which is going to be the new nighttime show coming to Animal Kingdom, was announced to launch or to begin on April 22nd, and Disney just announced that there's been a delay. And they said that they'll provide us an update in mid or late May, which makes us think it will not even be open by mid or late May, but we'll have to see. I know this is super disappointing, especially for people that were planning to go in April and May, because it seemed like they were going to get kind of first dibs at the show, but it is not going to happen yet, unfortunately. The last bit of news is that FastPass Plus reservations for Anna and Elsa and Rapunzel and Cinderella at Magic Kingdom have not been available for June. And that is because Anna and Elsa are moving to Epcot, most likely in June, because they are having a new meet and greet area built there. And so the FastPass Pluses have to change. They can't be giving out FastPass Plus for them at Magic Kingdom when they are not going to be there. And I think Rapunzel and Cinderella have been affected because they are kind of reconfiguring how the FastPass Plus will work at Princess Fairytale Hall in general. So if you're going in June and you haven't been able to get a FastPass Plus, that's just because they're not available. It's not because they're gone and you just failed to get them in time. They just aren't available. I don't know when they'll be available, but hopefully, I assume it's going to be when Disney feels confident that the about the date of the new meet and greet location, but we'll just have to see. I think that's going to wrap up the news. So let's have a quick tip of the day before we wrap it up today. My quick tip is, given the new My Disney Experience changes, my tip is after you check in for your third FastPass Plus in the park, so you scan your Magic Band and you're in the line to get on the attraction, to open your app and immediately get your fourth FastPass Plus reservation, because you don't have to go to a kiosk anymore. So you might as well do it right away after you use your third FastPass Plus. The availability to do this on the app is going to make it much more competitive. You know, it used to be that FastPass Pluses didn't go quite as fast because people had to go to a kiosk, which was not quite as convenient. But with it being in the app, it is to your advantage to open it up right away and get that fourth FastPass. And the same is true, you know, when you check in for your fourth FastPass, get the app out and book the fifth FastPass. So just keep it moving, and that'll help your touring be the most efficient. I think that will wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can read the show notes in your podcasting app, or you can head to the website and hit the podcast tab and look for episode 126. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.